King.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Nothing I don't want to kill any positive vibes here in hour number two, but Jay Hargrave, a little change at LSU baseball, the hitting instructor, the hitting coach.
You mean after they won the national championship last year?
Oh, stop it. By the way, Jay Gotro, you know who that is, right? He used to play Tulane.
Yeah.
Mississippi State assistant head coach. Assistant head coach of the year. D1 baseball, tweeting that out earlier today. Recognized.
And where's he coach again?
Mississippi State.
Yeah, not at LSU.
I'm just saying I might have seen a few comments on there. The next head coach of your LSU Fighting Tigers, which then made Tulane fans go, if he's going to coach anywhere else, it'll be over here.
Tulane already made that mistake once.
Look,
they going to do it again?
Travis Jewett had a team that looked like they were going out there and didn't finish the season very well.
That's never a good look when you start out really good, look like you finally got it together, and then the bottom falls out.
Matt Reiser at SLU and the success he sort of had there for a while. And, you know, but again, when you see a guy that helped get to the World Series for the Green Wave, and now he's the assistant head coach of the – when you get that title, his agent's going, head coach job coming up.
You know, and it's amazing how many guys Tulane has put out there, Tulane Green Wave guys that have been unbelievably successful coaches. And, you know, we talked about Andy Cannizzaro, you know, now Jay Gotro and Matt Reiser at Southeastern. Those are.
I wonder if Andy is going to get another shot somewhere as an assistant in college.
Yes, I think that's what it's going to. He's going to have to take
head
that
coach
path
of Holy
back.
Cross baseball right now,
and he's already making some progress there.
Yep.
Got in the playoffs and made some noise there. It won't take him long to win a state championship there. And somebody he's an unbelievably talented guy. Made some mistakes in his life. You know, look, people are entitled to make mistakes.
Sure.
Full disclosure, you know, his family friends of theirs, and they're great family, and he made some mistakes, but he deserves a second chance. And, you know, hopefully he's got his personal life straightened out, but you can't deny what that kid did on the baseball diamond. And I told you this.
And also as a hitting instructor.
A long time ago, when he was at LSU, I said Andy Cannizzaro is going to get Paul Maneri an extension. And that's exactly what's happened. And the moment Andy Cannizzaro walked out the door at LSU, LSU has begun to drop off again. People can say what they want about Paul Maneri as he's the best coach in the league. Yeah, you can believe that all you want. But when you got guys like Tim Corbin at Vanderbilt, who is doing the things that he's doing at Vanderbilt, when you've got Pat Casey at Oregon State, who's doing the things up in Oregon, at Oregon State that he's doing, and Paul Maneri with the facilities that he has, the recruiting advantages he has at LSU, and he can't take the most talented team to the College World Series. I'm sorry, I'm done. I've been done.
Now, look, you can say, look, you had injuries to the pitching staff. You had
so did everybody else.
An abnormal amount of injuries that happened, and
Vanderbilt won the title. I'm not
saying
they have academic standards. Right. I'm not saying the academic standards are low at LSU, but I went to LSU.
Oh, stop.
So
it's a little different now.
Vanderbilt,
like a 3-4 to get in or something.
Vanderbilt
like something.
Is the number one program in the country. If you maybe argue Oregon State,
right.
LSU's not even
okay,
in that
well,
conversation
look,
right now,
it,
Gus.
Well,
and what did Paul Maneri say last year? In his own words.
Well, let me ask you this.
Backup catcher is my biggest concern.
Well, let me ask you this though. When you looked at the regional and super regional, I mean, it was almost half of the field of the SEC. It was everybody but Bama
yep.
in the SEC West. So my point is, it isn't easy. There's no easy path. It is difficult just in your conference alone. So you have to take that into consideration. Now, I have heard people make the argument in the case of, okay, well, how are those teams catching up or being as good and now winning? And moving on and doing that. Look, I get it, but I think one thing that is fair that you can argue is making the decision to make a closer a starter when everyone in the world is like, that's his job, that's his role. It's nothing wrong with having a really good closer that can come in, play two innings or pitch two if you need to, or really be the shutdown guy and do that. They tried to make him a starter. Didn't work out. It's hard when you're switching staffs. Then the guy that does wind up being really good for you winds up having a tired elbow or arm, and you can't pitch him towards the end. So I do think one of the things to look at, and again, a lot could be made of, you know, Sean Ochinco not returning as the hitting coach. Tulane assistant Eddie Smith reportedly is now, according to Kendall Rogers of D1 Baseball, is going to be the new hitting instructor for the Tigers. Hitting's one thing. I get it. They got to figure out why all these pitchers are getting injured.
Yes. I mean, it's time to start questioning Alan Dunn.
I mean,
it's time to start questioning Alan Dunn.
You know, well, is it what they're doing? Is it how they're getting there? Is it the things you're doing in the offseason? I've talked about this a lot as well. You have to have some rest period. And, college baseball isn't covered like this and isn't talked about like this, but they'll be practicing here right around the time football starts practicing. I mean, they are. And most of the guys are playing right now in the Cape Cod League. They're playing in summer leagues and in summer ball right now. And then they'll have like a week or two off, maybe at most a month. And they want to get on campus. They're doing stuff. They're going to be doing stuff with the team per se, like with the coaches out there and stuff. And then you have fall practice and you have fall scrimmages and games and stuff going into the fall before they start up in February. So I don't know if it's usage. I don't know if it's too much. I don't know. I'm not the expert on it, but you're seeing a lot of injuries in arms by young pitchers. I'm talking freshmen, you know, so
Caleb Gilbert's career is over. Probably.
Is it travel ball? Is it Legion? I don't know the answer.
Is Vanderbilt having these kind of problems?
Well, you're seeing injuries all along, but again,
Kumar Rocker would look solid, down the College World Series.
To your point, again, these are all things that's questionable. That's one of those things where you can go, okay, Paul, why is this pitching staff suffering the injuries as opposed to others?
And look, I was losing my mind when LSU was getting eliminated, mm-hmm. and I heard other idiots in the city on the radio saying, Paul Maneri didn't walk 10 players. Paul Maneri didn't make base running errors. What the hell is a coach's job to do? To teach kids not to make mistakes. When have you seen an Alabama football team go out there and make ridiculous amounts of penalties in a national championship game? When have you seen the Clemson Tigers go out there under Dabo Sweeney and make ridiculous amounts of mistakes? When do you see the Patriots go out there? Why don't those teams do it? Because they have a great coach. It's time to change Paul Maneri's name to LeBron Maneri. Because since LeBron James, I have never seen another human being who gets more excuses made for him than Paul Maneri. This guy is an excuse machine, and you've got the Maneri worshipers out there saying he's the greatest coach in college baseball. This guy's won one national championship with the best facilities and the best talent. This year alone, no one at LSU expected Antoine DePlantis and Zach Watson to come back to this team. The minute those two kids came back, along with Josh Smith returning from injury, Daniel Cabrera, and the offensive juggernaut that you should have put out on that team, on that field last year, it's ridiculous that those kids didn't make it to Omaha. And I feel sorry for Sean Ochinco. Once again, who made that decision to put a 22-year-old kid as an unpaid hitting coach of one of the powerhouse teams in the nation? That's Paul Maneri made that decision. I feel sorry for Sean Ochinco because he was put in a no-win situation. And Paul Maneri finally righted it, but in the process, he probably ruined a coaching career, Sean Ochinco, because it's going to be hard for that kid to get another job somewhere.
I think what's also fair to sort of talk about here as well is while they have won a ton of games, LSU baseball, while they have had regionals and super regionals and all of this, some of the losses that have come at the is this a fair question? I guess what I'm trying to get at. Is there fear any longer of playing at Alex Box Stadium?
No.
I don't get that sense
there's
anymore.
Not.
And a lot of it is when you look at the losses there, it's kind of to your point. They're being outplayed, outcoached, not smart baseball. And again, that's something that you can question and talk. You know, the coaching methods. One of the other things a couple of years ago, too, there's some local baseball coaches that text me every now and then. His treatment of players his lack of support a lot of times. Somebody, again, because of that pressure, you have, let's just call Jordan the intern playing. He goes through a weekend stretch where he doesn't play well, he's replaced.
That's exactly what I've been told by ex-LSU players who play for him.
And then that player then loses faith and confidence.
And believes that
he's not in your corner. And in talking to a lot of baseball coaches, the most important thing you can do for players, because you're going to have up and downs. Cody Hosey, who won the American Conference Athletic Player of the Year, right, for Tulane Baseball, he had a stretch where he was hitting more homers than strikeouts. Then he had a little lull. Then he went going on. Now, granted, when you're playing that well, you're not going to sit him down and bench him. I laugh, but LSU routinely sits down players that would be stars and stars and starters anywhere else in hopes of others. Now, I get that. The pressure's different to that school than it is at everywhere else. I'm just saying those are things and criticisms that I have heard of Paul Maneri, making changes, not knowing when to do so, things of that nature to where – again, the number one job of the coach is to manage. That's why in baseball at the pro level, he's called a manager.
Exactly.
You're managing the game. When to bring in pitchers, when to start, set guy, you know, bring other people up, get them their opportunity, stick with people, things of that nature. Is every decision going to be right?
No.
Of course not. But I'm just saying, when you look at the seasons where they didn't meet expectations, or when you look at seasons where they bow out when they probably shouldn't in tournaments at home. And now this year they were fighting to even get a shot to host a regional. I mean, I could understand the heat. I mean, look, bottom line, you start the season as number one. You should not end the season praying
you're going to get
that
a regional.
You host a regional. I mean, that's where you are. That's reality.
And I bring it up again, Gus. We played this at Old Saint, I don't know how many times. Paul Maneri's own words. My biggest concern is the backup catcher.
Yeah.
When you make that comment, that's not the media putting pressure on you. That's you saying that's how good my team is. And you just said it. They had to all out in the SEC tournament in order to secure that regional, or they would have been a number two seed on the road for a regional. That's unacceptable. And when, again, you've got programs like Vanderbilt and Oregon State, who in the hell wants to go to Oregon State over LSU? When you got what are their two mascots, the Ducks and the Beavers? Why? Because they're both water-related because of the amount of rain they get in Oregon. Rain is not a good mix for baseball.
What should ours be then, a cactus? Because it's hot over here.
Well, it is.
Okay, the LSU cacti. Look, it is what it is, but again, that's the news. Again, Eddie Smith, Tulane assistant, heading over to LSU, reportedly for Kendall Rogers to be the hitting coach. Sean Ochinco not. And again, as you mentioned, not paid. So it's another element that a lot of these schools and people were talking about last year. They didn't get approved last year by the NCAA. They didn't vote all these conferences to add another third assistant and a paid assistant, which is ridiculous. I still don't understand why they only have 11.2 or 7 scholarships. I don't understand this. I don't understand why they don't get more scholarships. Is it the universities don't want to pay more? Why is the NCAA limiting it? I don't get that. Because it's true. I think about it all the time. If my kid was good enough to play and you're going to spend every weekend out there at the age of 3, or let's just say we start them now doing all this stuff, weekends, travel ball, none of that's cheap. And then I'm hoping he gets to a high school team. And then if he's good enough to go to Tulane, I got to pay for it, unless he's great, to earn a full ride. Because that doesn't happen in baseball. And Tulane's like $60,000. I mean, I've thought about it. I grew up playing baseball. I would love them to do that. I'm looking at other sports where scholarships can happen, because it's just really, really difficult to get a scholarship in baseball. It's not an easy sport anymore, and you better have money. That's everything, though. Soccer, all this stuff now, so money. Everything has to be travel all, man.
It is tough, but Vanderbilt and Oregon State and TCU and all those other schools are playing by the same rules.
No, I get it. I understand.
And here's my point. The place where LSU made most of their base running errors was at third base.
Yeah.
Who was the third base coach? Nolan Cain. Who is the reason he's not a pitching coach, he's not a hitting coach, he's the recruiting coordinator and third base coach. He's the guy, he's the reason why your hitting coach, you didn't have one, you had to have an unpaid assistant in Sean Ochinco.
Yeah.
And Nolan Cain was the one letting those kids make those base running errors, getting too far off the bag or not hitting bags. He's the guy that should have been telling him, get your butt back on the bag, you're getting too far off. and he allowed that to happen.
I mean, again, at the end of the day,
that's another Mineri decision.
Coaching matters.
Absolutely,
and just wonder
it does.
How, like, again.
But here's the last point. Would we be talking about Nick Saban if he had won one national championship at Alabama? I'm not saying we should have won six national championships under Paul Mineri, but Nick Saban's doing it in football. There's no reason why Paul Mineri, with the facilities he has here at LSU, he's got the same advantages that Nick Saban has at Alabama in football, but Nick Saban's taking advantage of it, and Paul Mineri's not.
Sports Hangover continues. I'm Gus Kattengill, Jay Hardgrave, joining intern here in Metairie, Joey back in the LaRose studios, where we paid him a visit yesterday. It was a surprise visit.
It was.
Yeah. You and I were both there.
Yep.
Saying hi to Joey.
Yeah, it was
Joey, you miss us yet?
Yes, he does.
Oh, yeah, I'm just proof I exist.
Did you hear the hesitation there? It's like, what do I say to this?
He didn't even fake the excitement. It was beautiful. We come back, Jim Eichen, off in Vegas. I'll ask him if he's feeling any tremblings. I mean, you got to go follow the earthquake thing on Twitter. Have you changed your Twitter thing yet?
No.
You're a jerk.
I am.
So we'll talk to him about what he saw last night.
I have to remember if I'm on Twitter.
Oh, my goodness. 109. What was it? 109, 107. I know. It was a lot too. 109.72. Bells over the Bulls. This is your home for Pelicans basketball. Jim Eichenhofer next on ESPN New Orleans.
As a leader in sanitation for the oil and gas industry, Joe's Septic Contractors caters to all field clients offering vacuum truck service for the offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Joe's Septic Contractors offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings. Call Joe's Septic Contractors today at 985-632-5592 or visit our website at www.joeseptic.com.
Metairie favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town, and we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridge Lake Drive in Metairie.
My name is Big Mike Fazy, and I know tough times. I remember my mom counting pennies to buy a loaf of bread. Always promised myself to strive to do better for my children, and I have been blessed to do so. Now I want to strive to do better for our communities, from education to career opportunities, from coastal erosion to infrastructure. I know we can make better tomorrows because I've done it all my life. I ask for your support and your vote. Big Mike Fazy for State Senate.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Michael Fazy Sr.
Is pain putting a strain on your quality of life? Don't suffer in silence. Get relief at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Dr. Luis Hernandez and Dr. Keith Duplantis can provide solutions to neck, knee, and back pain, as well as pain associated with injury, arthritis, nerve damage, and migraines. Get help for your pain at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Call today, 985-493-4080, or go to Thibodaux.com.
Hi, I'm Lindy LaRue with Donlin Construction. Are you thinking about starting a new project? Well, if you have an idea, we'll make it happen. Donlin Construction, a state licensed contractor, offers many services from site work, concrete paving and foundations, to customized office buildings and warehouses. Whatever service you require, Donlin Construction will make it happen. Just call 985-798-7788. Donlin Construction.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
I've been trying to think about it, like, how it's going to be, but I don't really think I can. Like, I think we have so much young talent with older talent, so I'm curious just like doing you with how it's going to work and how well we're going to play together.
That's Zion Williamson talking about how he's trying to envision what this Pels young team is going to look like. Jim Eichenhofer has had the honor and privilege of calling the games with Daniel Salerson the last three times right here on ESPN New Orleans. Jim, I'm jealous of you. A, you've experienced an earthquake. I just would like to do that because I think it would be kind of cool and scary at the same time. B, you're in Vegas. You probably haven't slept at all. And C, did you watch the game last night? Of course you did. You called it. I'm jealous.
Yeah. it was incredible last night. I think I'm not hyping it up too much to say that all the fans that were watching and tweeting about the game were just kind of shaking their heads like, this is unbelievable. I feel like every time I talk to you, whatever the most recent off-season development has been has always been great. So, I mean, these last 2 or 3 months have been incredible. And for the two other first-round picks to play as well as they did last night in the very first time that they stepped on the court, I think Daniel and I were both looking at each other like, man, these guys are pretty good. So it was about all you could ask for in terms of what happened in the game last night, for sure.
At @Jim_Eichenhofer is the way to follow on Twitter. He writes on Pelicans.com, covers the team on a day-to-day basis. You've been there at the practices. Give us a little background for these guys, because Silva, the second-round pick. You mentioned Alexander Walker and Hayes, the two other first-round picks with Zion. How much time did they have? Did they get to practice? I mean, is it really, hey, just go out there and play? Because you heard David Griffin say, look, we're just going to go figure it out on the court. Smart basketball players can play with smart basketball players. But you've been to all the practices. How much time did they actually have? Because they look like they've played together.
They weren't. It's interesting because they weren't allowed by NBA rules to participate in practices with their teammates. But I'm sure that they got to work out with each other. Because as we know, like all basketball players, you know, throughout the summer are going to be working out. They're going to try to play pickup. They're going to try to play, you know, some 3-on-3 half court or whatever it is. And so I do think that the time that probably, even though they didn't get to spend time with their other dozen summer league teammates, they probably got to spend more time than they otherwise would have with each other. So that might have helped them on the court as far as having chemistry. And we saw a bunch of plays last night where Alexander Walker fed Hayes for a dunk, including the one that was on every highlight show last night. He had two or three really nice left-handed passes to Hayes that he converted into a slam. So I think that maybe just them getting to know each other, they've all, and of course Silva as well, who's a second-round pick from Brazil, they've all been in the same boat as far as I can't imagine how frustrating it would be to get drafted on June 20th. You have no idea where you're going to go. Okay, you end up getting traded on draft night. You know what team you're going to play for, but then you have to wait 2.5 weeks to actually play in a game with that team and be able to do stuff with some of your future teammates. So they just seemed like they were, I think for anybody that was watching the game in the first 2 minutes, it just seemed like they were total shot out of a cannon, and they were kind of like you just let them loose, and they were running circles around the Bulls for pretty much the whole time they were on the court.
Jim, this is Jay Hardgrave. You know, in past years, we watched the summer league and we watched, you know, for maybe one guy who might be able to make this roster, hopefully. And this year, you look at a guy like Cavill Bigby-Williams, who's playing lights out. In past years, we'd say, hey, this guy's going to make the team. Now we got to look at it and say, is there a spot on the roster for this team? Are other teams looking at the Pelicans saying, hey, which guys don't y'all want because we're interested in them?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, based on how well some of these guys have played, including the player that you mentioned from LSU, I know that there's also two-way contracts available with the Pelicans, so that they can vie for that as well. But it is, if you look at the roster and you see how many, the main roster, I mean, not the summer league roster, and you see how many names they have on there now and how much depth they have, it does seem like it will be tough for someone else from the outside to make the roster. But like I said, there are two-way contracts and there are all these other teams that are watching and looking to see who has potential to maybe be an NBA player either this season or sometime down the road.
Speak with Jim Eichenhofer, Pelicans.com. He's serving as the color analyst during these summer league games right here on ESPN New Orleans. A big Bulls win yesterday. You know, you touched on something that I think is intriguing to me. If I had told you at the end of January, after Anthony Davis said, deuces, I've done all I can, that you'd be telling me on July 9th, the roster is deep, and where are people going to find minutes? You probably would have asked if I've been drinking, right?
That could be. But I think it's the combination of just they were able to parlay that. Obviously, they drafted Zion. That was an easy decision, but they were able to parlay that number 4 pick into extra picks. And then with the Davis trade, they were able to get 3 players from the Lakers. And really, I think the other factor that you have to throw in terms of the depth and how good the roster looks now compared to what you might have expected is the end of last season, where, of course, it was frustrating and it was kind of a nightmare in a lot of different ways. And we were just scratching our heads like, what the heck is going on right now with the Davis situation? You ended up having a bunch of guys get more chances to play, like Kenrich Williams and Frank Jackson. So those players look even better on a roster now than they did, because you've seen them play in real NBA games and do some nice work. So if you add those three things together, you end up with a situation where, man, there's a ton of depth. And now you also have this boatload of first-round picks coming up in the next few years. So, I mean, they've done such an incredible job in just a couple months in terms of, you know, accumulating assets and putting themselves in a lot better position than what things looked like, you know, a few months ago.
I want to talk about the guys that really stood out yesterday. Obviously, the pair of first-round picks and the second-round pick, because we hadn't seen them before. And we touched on it a little bit, but individually, just your thoughts in seeing the action live. Let's just start with Hayes, 28 points, 4 rebounds. Mm-hmm. It's obvious. We saw him flying above the rim. 9 of his 10 made shots weren't dunks, but we've brought in a couple of other analysts so far, and they were like, look, it's the stuff that he's doing outside of the ball, getting in position to make those plays, that stood out to them. What stood out to you with him?
Yeah, I mean, he was so active defensively. He was so aggressive going after shots. He got a few blocks. But offensively, I didn't realize this, that he had never had even a 20-point game in college.
Wow.
In his season that he was at Texas. Everything that I had heard about him and read about him, including the Texas beat writer that writes for the Austin newspaper, who kind of helped me help describe what Hayes' situation was like. Everyone, I don't know if project is exactly the right word, but I think people thought, you know, he's a guy that has a ton of upside. He was a late bloomer in high school. He wasn't even really recruited until he was a senior. He has to grow into his body because he grew a ton. That it's going to take him a couple of years, but I mean, obviously, we can't get carried away with one summer league game, but based on what we saw last night, it was like, man, this guy might be a lot more ready to contribute and to do damage at this level than everyone thought. So, I mean, they were just across the board. It was such an encouraging performance by him. I was so taken by how fluid he is. You see so many 6'11 guys who, you know, maybe weren't that. He had a good season at Texas, but like I said, it wasn't like he was super productive and had huge stats. You see a lot of guys like that where, I mean, New Orleans has had, you've seen guys on this team in the past that were drafted high, that were bigs, that you kept waiting for them to put it together and they never did, whether it was because they didn't have, their hands weren't good enough or their coordination wasn't good enough. But man, all the stuff that he showed last night, I was like, boy, he's, the descriptions of it might take him a while. I'm not sure if that's true. He seems like he's further ahead of the curve than what I was expecting to see last night.
Speaking of ahead of the curve, let's go to Nikhil Alexander-Walker, the guard out of Virginia Tech. Jim, on draft night, I heard him compared to Lou Williams, who is basically a shooting mm-hmm. guard off the bench, sixth man of the year, multiple years now. And looking at him last night, though, he almost looked like a point guard. People were saying he was a shooting guard at Virginia Tech. Is this just, you know, a guy who could play both positions, the one and the two?
You know, that was another surprising thing because, again, all of the summaries of what he was like in college was that he was a lot more comfortable at the two guard than point guard. Virginia Tech had their starting point guard was out for a while. He had to slide over to that spot, and Virginia Tech didn't play as well as they did when Nikhil was at the two guard. So, but I mean, based on last night, you saw him make so many of those really quick left-handed pocket passes. He seemed like right from the beginning of the game, he saw the court really well. I thought the Lou Williams comparison was interesting. I think it's more, I think sometimes when I've mentioned that or people have talked about that from draft night, people have pushed back on that and said that, you know, he's not the kind of like explosive scorer that Lou Williams is, where Lou Williams can score 12 points in 4 minutes or whatever. But I mean, there aren't that many guys in basketball that can do what Lou Williams does. I think more of where that analogy comes from is that Nikhil's not super athletic, but he's really crafty. And he really knows how to play the game, and that's one of the reasons why Lou Williams is such a good player. And I think we saw that last night. One of the things, like with Hayes, one of the things I was concerned about that he alleviated to some extent was how long it's going to take him to get used to the speed of the game and the coordination part of it for bigs. For Nikhil, it was, to me, watching him and being like, I don't think his relative lack of athleticism is really going to hurt him that much, because he just seems like he has such a good basketball IQ and knows how to play the game. And he just immediately jumped on the court last night and was the best backcourt player in the game. I know Coby White had some good stats for the Bulls, but
agreed.
I just thought that Nikhil really outplayed him in terms of the impact on the game and his own team.
Jim, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was texting with Will Guillory, who was at the game, and I said, you know what's impressing to me? I love Coby White. And I said it openly on the show. I was hoping the Pels could get fourth in the lottery, because I would have loved Coby White. This is before Ball and all that. I would have loved him. I think his size, defense, I like that. He couldn't get past Alexander Walker. There was one play he did for a sec, but then Alexander Walker was there, and it was a foul on the other end. But he couldn't get past him. His defense is what really stood out to me. You talked about his lack of athleticism and what people were saying. I never got that sense and feel in seeing that. I was just impressed. And in hearing him speak afterwards to NBA TV, he just gets it. And I loved him saying, and you can give us a little more insight since you're around the team. He said what's making it easy and to see the guys get together like that and play like that on the court is they're getting along off the court. I think that is such an underrated thing. The fact that you have a lot of these guys that are big names in their own right at the universities or where they're coming from. And and the fact that Zion seems so inviting to, hey, be inclusive sort of like that with what he is. It's incredible to sort of see that. I mean, I've dubbed them the Baby Birds. Yep. We got the Rim Reapers from some other fans as well. I think what's exciting to me is maybe the possibility of a young squad, a young group, kind of hanging out off the court, becoming friends, getting together and knowing how to play with one another. That's just going to help build in the future.
Yeah, and I think the fans have paid really close attention to some of the stuff that David Griffin has talked about a lot since he took over in the position that he's in, is bringing in players that are mature, players that are good people. And I think, obviously, last night was really the first exposure that a lot of the Pelicans fan base has to those guys, whether it's off the or on the court or listening to their post-game interviews. But I don't think it's a stretch, really, to say that, like you kind of alluded to, if you listen to these guys speak and you can kind of see where they're coming from, and like you said, that Nikhil just gets it, and I think Jackson is the same way. Zion, of course, is the same way. It's part of just kind of an overall strategy to bring in guys that are good teammates. I mean, there's a lot of talented basketball players that you can bring in, but are all of them unselfish? Are all of them good teammates? I mean, probably not. But I think that they've definitely made an emphasis to bring in guys that are going to fit well in a team concept. And I think from a fan standpoint or a media standpoint, it just makes it that much more easy to root for these guys and want to see them succeed, because you can see that their mindset is right. And I think just having guys that, I mean, these guys are 19, 20 years old, but they just, when you listen to them speak, they sound so much more advanced and mature than that. So, but I think this is all great as far as going forward with having a team, like you said, of guys that get along together, guys that are going to hang out, and guys that want to see each other succeed, because that's not always the at the forefront in basketball as well. That's one of the big keys to being successful as a team, is that you have players pulling for each other and not seeing that, okay, well, this guy is successful and that's negative towards me because it's going to take away shots or minutes or that kind of thing. So I just love the mentality that the front office has shown so far with the type of players that they've been acquiring.
We'll leave with this. Jim Eichenhofer of Pelicans.com, color analyst right now during Summer League with Daniel Salerson. It's crazy to think that Friday, with as much hype that we all saw, you had an earthquake. We'd be talking about that. That would be the highlight of Summer League. And then you had last night. It's incredible. I can tell you here from New Orleans, man, whether it's Jim pumping gas this morning at a gas station, people were talking about the Hayes dunk. You can feel the buzz and excitement around this team, man. And I've heard from Frank Jackson, your couple of interviews after practice or after games. The players feel it, and they can't wait to actually really get working and actually put in the other new guys, whether it's Favors and Redick and Ball and Ingram and Hart and have Drew on the court. We haven't even got to that point, man. Like, I can't wait for that to actually start happening. You can feel it, right?
Yeah, and I it's incredible to me to look at, just like in the terms of the veterans that the team has added, they've made so many good additions that some of the moves like Favors has almost been under the radar because it's like down the list. And then you think about it, you're like, man, what a great pickup that is. And it's kind of the same along the same lines with the rookies that, you know, everyone's been talking about Zion and justifiably so for the last few weeks or since the lottery in New Orleans. But now you're like, look at what some of these other guys that they added in the draft have been capable of doing. I know it's just one game, but it just seems like there's just been this huge wave of positivity. And I know that even though we have to wait a few months, I mean, there's definitely, from everything I see, there's so much excitement for October and even anticipation for the NBA schedule to come out in August. I think a lot of people can't wait to see when they're going to open up at home and see what other attractive games they get on the schedule, whether that's Christmas or opening night and that kind of thing. So you said it. I mean, people are just fired up. It's something that is so cool to see, especially after what happened last season.
Jim Eichen off for Pelicans.com tomorrow night. So they get back on the court. Pels and Cavs. Any shot we see Frank Jackson?
I don't think so. I think I'm expecting that he's going to sit for the rest of summer league. And I mean, with as well as he played in that game, I'm not sure how much more he can really prove. And at the same time, I'm sure he and Nikhil could function well together, but I don't mind having some of these other guys get more of a chance to play. There's a lot of players on the team that really need, for their own career, a chance to be out there. And if Frank is out there, I'm not sure if that's going to happen to the same extent. But yeah, I would say right now I don't think Frank's going to play again in summer league, which is fine.
6:30 p.m. tomorrow, Pels and Cavaliers. You can catch it on TV, ESPN2, and you can catch the audio broadcast right here on ESPN New Orleans. We're home for Pelicans basketball. Daniel and Jim will have the call for you. Jim, thanks as always, man. Appreciate the time.
No problem. Thanks, Gus.
Yep, for sure. Go to Pelicans.com. You have all the interviews, write-ups from post-practice. We hadn't even gotten with the real squad just yet.
I just had a sick thought.
What? As we go to break.
They had five teams possible landing spots for Russell Westbrook.
Mm-hmm.
If you were the Pelicans, with all of the assets you have, I know the salary would be tough to fit in because you would have to. Would you think about maybe trying to pair Westbrook with Zion and maybe trading Lonzo Ball and some other assets to pick up Russell Westbrook?
I don't want to say here's the problem with Russ, because I don't, but...
Does he fit?
He's a ball-dominant player.
Exactly.
And I love his aggressiveness. I love that. I heard an interesting stat this morning on Go Looking Window from Adrian Wojnarowski. Since Kevin Durant's left, the Oklahoma City Thunder have not won a single playoff series.
Wow.
And he's been, what, a two-time MVP?
Give him credit, though. Get him to the playoffs when he shouldn't have.
I hear you. I mean, he's won an MVP. He's been, what, three seasons in a row now, average triple-doubles, and I get that. And he's over 30. So, look, you're not winning the title right now.
My question is the chemistry.
I just think you keep building.
You keep going and don't even visit.
We'll see in 3 years, and then we can start making runs. Let's just build. Let's see what we have this
year.
Keep
going with the way you're
going. Let's see what you need to add next year. And then in 3 years, let's be playoff teams and let's get running.
David Griffin's built up enough credibility that if he did swing that trade, people go, hey, no, I'm good with that.
He knows something I don't. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Get away, American woman.
Hi, Buster Olney here, and my friends at Marathon are really helping you save, because right now you can get 5 cents off every gallon every day with Make It Count rewards from Marathon. Plus, you can earn points for additional savings on fuel, airfare, hotels, and more. It's quick and easy to join. Just visit makeitcount.com/radio or download the free app. So start saving today with Make It Count from Marathon. Offer valid only at participating Marathon locations. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game where you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. Baseball Golf, the pinnacle of playoff season. It's what makes this time of year so exciting. But to get out there and take in all the sports you love, you need to protect your engine. So choose Pennzoil Synthetic Motor Oil. It's the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. That's right, natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. So all you have to worry about is the score. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
The police called after midnight when they caught our son at a drinking party. It was a real wake-up call. My wife and I are really worried. We don't know if our son has a serious problem or if he's just hanging around with the wrong crowd. How do we know what to do? The police officer who brought our son home suggested we try Al-Anon family groups. He said it might help to hear how other parents are dealing with alcohol problems. I didn't want to go to an Al-Anon meeting. I didn't want anyone to think we had problems like that. And I didn't think our son's problem was that bad. When I decided to give Al-Anon a try, I found it was a safe place that keeps your problems private. It was very helpful. Are you troubled by someone else's drinking? You might be surprised at what you could learn in an Al-Anon family group from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON or go to alanon.org.
Escúchame, it is Dan Levitation, ESPN Radio.
Over 15 years plus doing this show with Stugatz, there have been precious few times when he has ever said of anything going on anywhere in his life, Dan, be careful with this. Don't make fun of me on this. I don't think this is on the list. I think Stugatz came in here today smelling like cigarettes. He smelled like Vlade Divac.
No. We've talked about this before.
But what stress did you have in your life?
It feels a little awkward because I think Stugatz is trying to keep this secret. But,
no.
Okay, because there was one time where he stepped out early to study for Highly Questionable, and all that meant was he just went through a pack of heaters.
Well, it's just two. I mean, that's all.
Two packs of heaters.
I concentrate better when I go through heaters getting ready for HQ. And listen, my performance showed. I was contributing because I was smoking heaters.
The Dan Levitation Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Katten.
Saints releasing training camp date Friday, July 26th. It is the opening practice for your New Orleans Saints. Sunday of that weekend, Jay Hargrave, it is the first padded practice. We all love ourselves a padded practice.
Yeah, when you don't have the pads on, everybody loves a padded practice.
I don't know if the players do. Sunday, August 4th, the team will practice over at Yeoman Stadium at 7 o'clock. The rest of the practice is 8:50 to 11:40 a.m. 8:50, 11:40, weather permitting. Obviously, if they're outside, you can be outside. Jordan, the intern, has said, somebody else can have my credential. He will be a fan. And when I mean fan, I'm talking about like he's going to go sit in the regular stance. He tweeted at me exactly what coverage he's going to provide, and it's apparently a clip from a movie. What is it? What is this?
A lot of 90s kids will know it. It's the Even Stevens movie.
The Even Stevens movie, and apparently here's you in a lounge chair. You got a hot dog coming your way. I mean, you look very comfortable and relaxed.
Oh, it's very comfortable.
A beverage being brought to you. That's because the stands, Jay Hargrave, this year, in which the normal folk can go to check out practice, will be covered and have misters. Like when you go to Disney World and things of that nature, and also upgraded concessions, probably snowballs. Jordan, for you?
I think they already had snowballs.
Rather than being out in the heat without shade and being told every 5 seconds from Saints fans to get down, take a knee, or sit down so they can watch practice. I never understood why they just don't give us like a 5-yard area away from everybody. I never understood that. Or raise up the stance. Maybe they did that this year. But for all y'all that come out there and practice and yell at us to get down, what do you want us to do? A, we can't. Like, we can't sit down or take a knee. We get yelled at. Because if players come off the field, the route goes out of bounds or they can't stop,
you gotta
we
move
have
quickly.
To be able to move, which is why we can't sit down and take a knee. We do. We get yelled at. But for the people in the front, that's why I always suggest it. Don't sit in the front row because that's where the TV cameras and the media is going to be. I know you want to sit in the front row, to get your autographs, but We can't. And you know that, right? You
yell that all the time. Don't patronize the
fan. Oh, here we go. Yeah, no, they'll patronize you, huh?
Yeah.
You're already taking up the cause of the fan, huh?
Yeah. And the fan's always right.
Anybody want Jordan's credentials since he's given it up?
I'm not giving it up.
You said you want to go sit in the stands in the shade.
I'd rather have a chair. I want a chair like that.
Moisturizing lotion and everything.
What I don't understand about Jordan is.
Who in a chair? Some jello.
Here's a guy who's willing to get arrested by jumping on floats
during
parades.
Yes.
Yet he does not stay in the line to get the snowball when he had the chance.
Yep. I did stay in the line.
No, they made you get out, and you got out of line and did not get the snowball.
Well, no, I asked the lady that was handing them out. I'm like, and she's like, these are only for Saints players.
Which I told you, again.
How
embarrassing is that?
And you're willing.
It's embarrassing to me.
Yeah, maybe to you.
Exactly.
And you're willing to get arrested jumping on a float, but you're not willing to fight for that snowball and get arrested there. Need to see some consistency out of you, Jordan.
Yeah.
I can't get arrested for trying to get a snowball.
Don't underestimate yourself, Jordan.
That's incredible.
Don't underestimate yourself.
Shade and misters with upgraded concessions. I might watch it from the stands as well.
There'll be no media there.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Can I bring a personal assistant?
You know what?
To feed me and give me water.
Wow. The intern wants intern.
He's going big term. He's going big time now.
Guy's sounding too much like me.
There it is. The intern wants an intern.
My personal assistant took a knee and I could just sit down on
your personal assistant.
My personal assistant's
knee. You're
going
to sit on the personal assistant's knee.
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my Lord.
Someone's going to the hospital.
Wow. Well, there's that.
When you get my age, you take a knee, you just can't get up, so they boo you anyway.
12 open practices overall for your New Orleans Saints. We've been touching on that. Also, 24/7 Sports, Jay Hardgrave over on CBSSports.com. They came up and compiled a list of all the SEC quarterbacks. Of course, we're getting closer to football. So you're going to start seeing a lot of lists, right? Over the next 2 weeks, it's, you know, conferences, players, all these different lists that you're going to get. Brad Crawford ranks the SEC quarterbacks entering the 2019 season. You ready? You ready to go through them?
I'm ready.
Okay. We'll start with number 14, Riley Neal out of Vandy. Number 13, Ben Hicks from Arkansas. Number 12, Matt Corral from Ole Miss. Those are your first three quarterbacks that he has as well, Jay.
Newer guys.
At number 11, Joey Gatewood. Is apparently going to be the starting quarterback for Auburn. Remember, their starter is now moved on.
Yep.
Terry Wilson, Kentucky, the next two. Over at number 9, Tommy Stevens, Mississippi State. Jarrett Guantano from Tennessee. So Mississippi State, Tennessee, 8 and 9. Number 7, Kelly Bryant from Missouri. Remember, he transferred. From Clemson.
I think that's a little low for him. I think he should be lower. I think it's a little high for him.
He got behind Trevor Lawrence.
He's a good quarterback. And, I think Missouri's going to have a good year.
You think so, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Derek Dooley's offense over there at Mizzou. Jake Brantley, South Carolina. He is next at number 6. At number 5, your LSU Fighting Tiger quarterback, Joe Burrow. They write, coming off of his best game as a collegian during bowl season versus UCF, a confident Burrow enters his second and final season in Baton Rouge with plenty to play for as a senior starter for the Tigers. Not only did Burrow provide the offense with stability as a leader, but his numbers should be even better in 2019 thanks to the addition of new passing game coordinator Joe Brady. Last fall, Burrow managed the fourth highest total in passing yards in the season, 2,894 yards, third highest number of completions, 219, and second best total yards in a season, 3,292 in program history. He has a nice collection of playmakers, a wide receiver, and should show out this fall. There was two things that really stood out to me last year was his leadership, first and foremost. And you saw it, or you just heard it right now in that write-up, stability. Like, in the past, you kind of covered your face and kind of opened your fingers a bit so you can see, but not see any time LSU drop back the pass. That's a fact. You never felt that. You never felt that in close games, whether it's the Auburn game or others. You felt that he was going to drive the team down the field and make the right decisions. That's what really stood out to me. Georgia was another one. You felt like he could do that. I think the addition of the young freshman backfield is going to help tremendously for him because he almost had to make plays. That Arkansas, that A&M game at the end of the year, Joe Burrow was the reason they were even still in those overtimes. And he was just, he found a way to make plays. And I think if you surround him like you see that, and you saw Brady, look, Burrow's out there saying this offseason it can be a 40-point-per-game offense. You do that with what they think they're going to have on defense. Jay?
Look, I think you hit the nail on the head. John Emery's going to play a huge part of that. If he can give them something in the running game, the freshman out of Destrehan, if he's going to be able to give them something in the running game, it's just going to make and LSU's been traditionally a great running team. But you saw how tough Joe Burrows was last year. That kid took some ridiculous hits and got up from them. He's tough as nails.
Yeah, he is.
He's got to learn how to slide. But the thing you keep hearing out of Baton Rouge right now is the chemistry that is coming from the coaching staff with the addition of Joe Burrow and Ensminger and that whole offensive staff. Everyone is unbelievably excited about this year, and I think rightly so. You're right. Joe Burrow gave them a lot of hope. And don't forget, I keep going back to this. Last year, that kid was here just a couple of weeks
right.
before he didn't have a whole offseason. So now you've got Joe Brady there. You've got a whole offseason of Ensminger, Brady, Burrow, all of the receivers being able to work together. This receiving core is loaded. So if they get something out of John Emery out of the backfield in the running game, which I think they will, I think this offense can be extremely dynamic, and I think Burrow probably ends up in the final results being a lot lower than number five on this list.
I think one of the things too that stand out to me that's going to be interesting is, again, if this defense, which I mean, against the people that cover this team, you're going to have a lot of impact from some of the freshmen that come in, can get more possessions. And I think that's going to be the key. If they can make that stop. Obviously Devin White could be a loss, but it looks like he's going to have more playmakers maybe on the back end to be able to get that ball, I guess, back in the hands of the offense. I just honestly think, man, the running backs, no offense to the guys that ran last year for them.
They were good.
They're not NFL running
backs. But they weren't great.
I don't know if these two guys are going to be NFL running backs. They're awfully good.
Yes.
And they have potential. And you're hearing them being compared to a couple of other past NFL players. So just get the ball to the playmakers. I've always said that. When it comes to LSU, for some reason, that's the one thing that I never understood with Les Miles. Whether it was Beckham, whether it was other NFL running backs, before Geis and them, why would you ever run and have a dual threat quarterback at LSU when you have NFL caliber players at the skill position levels beyond me? The two national championships in recent memory they won was one was a dentist. The other guy basically what you know is like, hey, just can you snap the ball, not fall, and give it to people. Make good decisions, make a play on third down. You know what I'm saying? It's like I never understood whether it was Jordan Jefferson, and again, I'm not knocking the players. I'm knocking the philosophy and the system belief. It doesn't make any sense. You know, the looking to the sidelines and smacking your hand and then why? Well, I don't understand. Have a quarterback that can read a defense. With when you have that many weapons, who am I going to? Who are you covering? Let that offense read it. When you have the entire offense looking to the sideline right before a snap, you're hindering your receivers. They can't read defenses on the route. You're hindering your running backs. Who's coming in? Because they're spending 7 seconds trying to figure out the poster board picture of Jordan's hat. You know, your T-shirt, J.R. Grave, a picture of a water bottle, and the Oregon State Beaver, and that means a play. It doesn't make any sense to me. I never understood that to me.
It's arrogance of the coaches that they don't want to let go of their playing days, and they're trying to show everybody how good they can read a defense instead of teaching kids how to do that in practice. That's what real coaches do. They teach kids how to read defenses in practice. That's, by definition, what a coach does. But I keep going back to that game when you're talking about Les Miles and why his philosophy changed. I continue to go back to that game against Florida where Jacob Hester picked up like 632 fourth downs in that game where every down seemed like it was fourth down and Jacob Hester was picking up a yard. That seemed to me where it got off track for Les Miles because he caught this feeling of, oh, I can just keep pounding the ball and running the ball and running the ball and let my team play defense and win every game 10-7. Yeah, that works, but all of a sudden you end up losing a couple of games and you always end up 10-2. And I think that was the demise of Les Miles, that game.
All right, so Burrow's number 5. Felipe Franks, number 4. Number 3, Kellen Mond from A&M. Number 2, Jake Fromm from Georgia, and Tua from Alabama, your number one ranked quarterback in the SEC. Do you agree Burrow's the fifth best? Do you like the rest of that list? We can talk a little bit about that. We can talk about Saints training camp. Schedule is out. A little bit more on the baby birds, the Pelicans. Did you watch the game? I'm waiting for your phone calls here. 800-998-1003. What was your impression of Jackson Hayes, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, even Silva, the second round pick? How excited are you? How excited should I be?
I just can't believe we've already been through 2 hours.
Yeah, hour three. Next, on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. Don't bring me down. No, no, no.